Hello and welcome to the Wednesday night service of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support our broadcast and our ministry, please visit our website, which is www.thefishermenministry.org, and click on the donation button located on the site. Thank you for your support.
Well, welcome everyone to the Wednesday night service at Grace Ranch of the Fishermen Ministry. So let us praise and worship the Lord, and may the Lord open our ears and our hearts to receive thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
evening, everyone, and welcome to the Grace Ranch Wednesday evening service. I know Charlie's already welcomed everyone, but I'll do likewise. You know, as many know, for a month now, I have been away from the ranch where I live and have had the opportunity to be truly blessed in my travels. I left, of course, with Corey and Maggie, and our first stop was to spend a week in Georgia helping James and Rose, which was a wonderful blessing to be able to be of service to them as they get ready to move and be a part of the body at Grace Ranch. And then we left and were blessed to be able to visit with Lisa and JC and Micah to a small extent, but Lisa, who provided a lovely breakfast and health as we prepared to head to Maryland. And then we went to Maryland, where I know Maggie and Corey were blessed and now are in South Carolina with their children and are doing well. And I was able to see one of my children. And then I met up with Steve and we came to Vermont. And it was a wonderful blessing to walk into his house that was otherwise completely empty, as he had moved a year and a half, 2 years ago from it, and see that every little detail was thought of so that we could come in and have what we needed, including just the provision of a teapot for coffee and toilet paper and some food and just details. Every detail was thought of, and Carrie and Jeannie and I believe Jim did what it took to prepare this place for our entrance. And the reason why I bring it up is because we can see here the body working together in service to God. So I rejoice that Grace Ranch, with a small crew, continues in its service and work of the ministry there. I rejoice that at every place we have passed through, the body provides one for another. And it is a testimony of God being with us. And it is one worthy of noting as the Lord brings us through into even greater, a greater place and unto his purposes in a mightier way. And it was kind of interesting. Many know the house that is Steve's. And when you look out the east window across the mountains of Vermont, tonight before the sun set, you had these glorious clouds that reflected the light of the sun. And it was on the east side, so it wasn't a sunset. But it brought me to Psalm 19. And in Psalm 19, starting with verse 1, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And it's interesting, when you look up heavens and firmament, though they are both different words, they both speak of the sky. So heavens is from an unused root meaning to be lofty, the sky, air, heavens. And then firmament is properly an expanse, the firmament or visible arch of the sky. So the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Truly, that is, I mean, it's the truth. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So in every speech and every language, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. It is there and known in every speech and every language to the glory of God and for all those who will hear. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And that all is in reference to that very first verse about the glory of God that is made manifest for all to see. And then verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know, we know that we cannot keep the law, and that the law itself was but a schoolmaster. So how is it that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul? How does that work? In Romans 7, Paul talks about law and its purpose, and that it isn't sin, it isn't evil, it had a purpose. He said, how would I have known? Here, let me just read it to you. I think that's going to be better than doing otherwise. So in Romans 7, verse 7, it said, well, starting with verse 5. Well, let me just read verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust. Law said, thou shalt not covet. So you see there the perfect explanation of the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Because without it, we would not know that we were sinners. And without it, we would not be in a position to accept he who fulfilled the law and shed his blood, that we might be reconciled to a perfect God and be converted to come into agreement, perfect agreement with that truth. So the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And there's one testimony that is there for all, and that is the word of God, what we call the Bible. That is the most perfect and sure word, and it makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And you know, when we go through struggles, and I know struggles are common to us all, and even now as I speak, I know that there are many in the midst of struggles. And so how can the statutes of the Lord, which are right, how can that rejoice our heart? It really only happens as, just like converting the soul, we come into agreement with the word through faith in the word and through that choice of trust in him, whereby it does its work. And in that place, then, it rejoices our heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. These are truths, and they're truths that, if you know, it goes back to Proverbs 3 that we go over frequently because it's so true, and yet we err from obeying it so frequently. Likewise, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 8 here is saying the same thing. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. They will rejoice your heart if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and choose against your own understanding. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, but you got to choose it to have your eyes enlightened. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And that word clean there is pure, fair. It is, we have to have a proper fear of God to come into that obedience unto him, because it is by its very nature the acknowledgement of who he is, and puts us in our rightful place in submission, obedience, thankfulness unto him. And it will endure forever. It is needful to endure forever. It is true forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And he ministers his judgment. He teaches us his judgments. He wants us to partake of his judgments and their righteousness. He wants us to be blessed in the midst of that, not cursed. They are, as it says in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The truth is that there is nothing that will satisfy or bring peace or any good thing but the word of the Lord alive in our life and in our heart by our choice of faith in him. And in that they are more to be desired than anything that one can imagine, because none of that stuff brings forth blessing, none of it, and it never will. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Now, this is the judgments of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, that by them thy servant is warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And, you know, the Lord says to prove him. And proving him means, you know, step out. He says it. You believe it. He's going to show up, and he's going to show you it's true. You continue on. But the thing is it is contrary to what our comfort zone is, what we like. We don't like so many of the things he says, because we're really, it's really a bondage. It's an unbelief. It's a fear. It is all sorts of things. Really, it is that fear that would hold us in bondage to things and step out into the free possession and the promises of God. It is the very same thing that the children of Israel failed to do when they would not go in and take the promised land under Moses and died in the desert, when we do likewise. Anytime, and the Lord in his grace and his mercy holds it out for us and has in no way withdrawn his hand back, but let us go in and possess all that he has for us. And, you know, because otherwise we have not the warning, and that he has put out for us has served no purpose, and we don't get great reward that we all desire and that glorifies him. If you go back and read of the testimony of the enemies of God in Joshua and their testimony, and you see them in the Old Testament, where you have people like Rahab, where you have people like Ruth, where you have people like Urijah, who was Bathsheba's husband, where you have person after person after person who chose God because they knew by the testimony of Israel that he was the one true God, but that it was by the testimony of those who believed and had taken possession. And even in the midst, some of them, like Ruth, whose mother-in-law wasn't in a state of belief, but she knew nonetheless that the God of Israel was the true God, and it was more important to her than anything this earth and this world could offer, and she chose it. And because of that, not only did God bless her, because he's always going to bless faith, he's always going to honor faith. But he also, you know, talk about a great reward. Not only is there a book that tells her story, but her faithfulness was worthy of being part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. So moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Thy servants, you've got to be a servant of God. It doesn't say everybody's warned. If that was true, we'd see a people on this earth, on every continent, every spot on this earth, who kept the word of God. But his servants are warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Now this is a big, because it's hard to have the Lord shine a light on that which has been secret. And yet, if we want to be clean and want to be, you know, that those people that God himself has, it's only iniquity cleansing power, only iniquity, that we might be the people, the servants who are warned, that we might receive them. They come by allowing the Lord truly to take over every part of our life, where we submit it all unto him. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. And this is, this is a major one, because we need to be kept. We need to be kept from thinking that which is not. And it goes on to say, have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression is a revolt, rebellion, sin, transgression, trespass, but a revolt against the truth. There is none amongst us, none, not one, who can keep himself from the great trespass. It is an act and a work of God by recognition of needing it, and then submission to the work that he does. And then the very last verse, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's kind of funny, because I've been thinking about this verse, and I think it's one that maybe all of us lift up to the Lord. And we all know that we have revealed hearts by our mouths over and over again. And we're offended, because it's an offense. I mean, it is. Our hearts are offensive. And the only way for the words of our mouth to be right is when the meditation's heart are acceptable in his sight. And the only way for the meditations of our heart to be acceptable in his sight is when we come under obedience to what he says, not what we think. When we bring into subjection everything that wars against him, his word, every rebellion that exists in us, that we feel, that we struggle against, the fight of faith, and we bring them all under obedience to him. And then he is our Lord. He becomes our strength, because he is our hope. He is our redeemer. He takes that which is of no value and worthless, and he uses it then to his honor and glory. And it's only there, when we pass through these things, that he can become truly our Lord, our strength, and our redeemer.
Well, hello, everyone. I hope we're still up broadcasting. I'm not seeing anything going on in the chat room to confirm. Robin was speaking here in Psalm 19, and I thought she did a good job of going through things. There are a couple points that I just want to highlight, and then we're probably going to turn over to John 5. So I wanted to note here for you is, first of all, you know, one of the things I find with people all the time in the ministry, and it particularly comes up, came up a lot with Davey, it comes up a fair amount with me, and that is, you know, we'll commonly interact with a person, see a person, talk with a person, and then come down and say, well, this person's, you know, this way, or this person's that way, and they, you know, this person's not preaching the gospel accurately. This person's not this. This person, I don't know if they be saved. And what happens is I generally find that people take great offense at this. And in fact, the very idea of knowing such a thing, people take great offense at. And I share this with you because in Psalm 19, one of the things that he says, in verses 8 and 9 and then 10, he says, you know, the statutes of the Lord are right. See, one of the things is when I hear what people say and the like, I can hear whether what they are saying accords with the word of the Lord. All right. And so his statute falls and I see it and speak it. All right. You know, it says the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart when a person stands and operates in them. Okay. They are blessed of the Lord and rejoice. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the point that Robin hit on, I just want to touch on again, is the commandment of the Lord is pure. There is no shadow of turning in it. It is perfect. Now, lots of times the commandment of the Lord, and of course we know the commandment of the Lord is to love one another and this, but then in the application, you'll see it come to pass where people will be brought up and seen whether or not that which they have been doing or operating in is indeed love. And people struggle to embrace and receive these things often. And so when it says the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, what happens is, you may not understand why a certain thing the Lord is commanding or telling someone to do. You may not understand why. You may not understand why the Lord's telling you to do a thing. But if you will do it faithfully, you will come to see and understand. Small example I'll give you. Many people know how I ran Dog River Business Solutions for many years. And then the Lord, after several years of running it, showed me that I had completed the work he had given me to do, and I was to turn it over to Charlie on one half and Rick on the other half. Now, what a lot of people have heard me say but may not have thought of it from this perspective. See, Davey was the one who told me to run Dog River Business Solutions. Anybody knows I'm not a computer guy. Davey was a computer guy. I wasn't interested in it. Charlie and Ricky are computer guys. But Davey told me to run this thing. And I ran it for year after year, day in, day out, wondering what in the hell I was doing and what was the use of any of this. It was not until after the Lord showed me that I had completed the work that he had given me to do there that I ever saw at all why he had had me do that and what the fruit of that was. I share it with you because his having me do that was pure. There was a perfect reason he had for me to do that, that both blessed me, it blessed Rick, it blessed Charlie, and it blessed others. And the truth of the matter is those blessings continue with all of us to this day. It's an extraordinary thing, both financially and in the resources and skills and the like that we have as body are able to do and the people we are able to reach through that. It's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful vehicle. Karen is a small example of one who is a fruit of that. And I'm speaking of Karen, Charlie's wife. Raul, who's come to know the Lord, is a fruit of that. Not because he came to the Lord during that time, but we came into contact with him through Dog River.
Thank you for listening. Unfortunately, there were some technical difficulties during this broadcast. Please stay tuned for the remainder of the message.
I hear you. Thanks. I'll take a step back to hopefully recap where we were. So in verse 9 and 10, you know, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is something that we will stand in and have to stand in for all eternity. Because even when we go to heaven, we will have to operate in the fear of the Lord. Because in heaven, there will be no grace. There is no recovery for rebellion. We need to learn it here and stand in it forever. But the next verse is what I wanted to really get to. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Now, I say this, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then I continue, more to be desired are they than gold, because seldom do people think of the judgments of the Lord as something that they desire and want to know. You have to desire and want to know it first in your life, first as it relates specifically to you, so that you can go forward in the blessings of God. And that's the part that's first and foremost is there. Once you pass through that, now you can be a person who's able to minister and stand in those things for other people's sake, that they come to see the truth and come into accordance with the Lord and get shed of the rebellion and the like before it is too late. Because when they go to meet the Lord at death, it is too late. At that point, there's no more repentance. They've either repented or they've not. And if they have go to that place and have not receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and come into obedience to him and his word. Remember, unless you're about his Father's business, you are going to be one of those, he says, get away from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Well, how are you going to be about his Father's business unless you know the judgments of the Lord? Unless you can stand in the fact that they are true and righteous altogether, always, without ever any exception. And you have to desire these things more than anything else, more than your next meal, more than how am I going to pay my rent, more than all of these things, you need to desire them. And as you desire them, what you will find is that they are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. The truth of the matter is, in knowing them and keeping them is great blessing. Great blessing, because see, it's in knowing and keeping them that you come to walk in his ways. And as you walk in his ways, he will back you up. And that means you can go into any situation, the situation that other people think that is impossible, the situation that other people think nothing can be done with. You can walk into that situation and bring the deliverance, the healing, the salvation that people know. Why? Because you know and walk in the Lord. You know his judgments. You can look at a situation and see it from his perspective. And when you can see it from his perspective, now you don't go around wielding the sword like just turning every which way. You can wield it with precision in ministering unto the people to separate them. Small example from Smith Wigglesworth. A story that was told of him was of a revival. He was preaching at a place. I think it was a revival meeting that was going on. And all the ministers of the area wanted him to join with them to go over to this woman who was a very big supporter of the churches, who was very ill. And Smith Wigglesworth kept telling them, no, 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 no. Well, finally, you know, they prevailed upon him. Why? They didn't care about that woman. They would testify that they did. We love her. We this, we that. That was all BS. They didn't love her at all. what they loved was the gravy train she was to them, and they didn't want it to stop. That's what they loved. But boy, did they feel righteous about their love for her and felt that Smith Wigglesworth didn't seem to have any love at all. So Smith finally goes over there. He walks up, sees the big house, the great house, opens the door. He takes one woman from yet and turned and walked away. You can just imagine all the other ministers. He didn't really mean that. Don't you get? I mean, he really wants you and all the other stuff that they'd want to say. He walked off, turned out that old lady showed up at the meeting that night. And when she showed up at the meeting that night, Smith prayed for her. And you know how he prayed for her? He went as a plumber by trade. Plumbers, in my experience, are very strong men. They are strong men working with their hands, turning and twisting things that are hard to turn and twist. And he came up and he balled up his fist and he, with all his power, walloped her right in the gut, sent her flying across. I don't think it was the stage. I think it was out into the audience, but I don't recall specifically how it happened. Walloped her. She goes flying. And you know what? When she came up out of that, she was delivered of the demonic spirit that was destroying her, that not a one of the people who were there who were so pleased to receive her money and tell her how wonderful she was, not a one of them saw it. But Smith saw it. And because he loved her, and because he loved God, she was delivered. If he had not been there, that woman would have never gotten free of that devil. And that devil may have taken her right to hell. But instead, she got free that day. You see, knowing the judgments of the Lord and that they are true and righteous altogether gives you the understanding to deal with any situation out there. And the Lord wants you to have that understanding. But you're not going to have that understanding if you don't desire to learn them. What's it say? He says that delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. If your delight is to know his judgments, to know them, to really know them, and then to stand in them when everybody else thinks you are presumptuous and every other thing and thinks you're evil and wicked and not caring to these people, but to stand in them, even though that's going on all around about you, love the Lord and you know these things are true and you will stand in them even if nobody around you stands in them. Well, let me tell you something. That's the kind of person that God uses mightily. That's the kind of person that gets things done. That's the kind of person who takes their place in the body of Christ called the Church of Philadelphia. The people who flee from such things, don't hear such things, think you're mean for bringing such things up. Those are the people who don't. They don't go. They just think that they love the Lord. They just think that all these people are great. They just think that. As he goes down here, though, the other point I get to is, you know, he says, moreover, by them as thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. There is great reward. The reason why there's great reward in keeping of them. See, when you don't keep them, God may cover you in his grace. He may cover you in his grace. He covers you in his grace all the time on different things. He may cover you in his grace, but not going to be a part of what you're doing. He's not going to be of what you're doing. If you want him to be a part of what you're doing, then you better be doing what he's doing. And the one final thing I want to say with respect to the last few verses is 12 to 14. All of those verses, David is not putting those things on himself. He's putting them on the Lord. And what I mean by this, and this is what I say when I hear people's prayers, I sometimes think, I mean, man, people have a lot more confidence in themselves than I do. Who can understand his errors? Shoot. you think any or me or any of us, you know, over there the other day, Bob was reading out of 1 Corinthians 4 about Paul talking about how he didn't judge himself. And the reason is that Paul wasn't a great judge of himself. I'm not a great judge of myself. You're not a great judge of yourself. When you think you can judge yourself and you've got it all figured out about it and things like that, I can tell you that is pure unadulterated iniquity and pride. And all too often your prayers are speaking of it from the perspective that, you know, you are capable of these things. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. In other words, he's not trusting the Lord to be able to see him and get shed of him. He's trusting the Lord to cleanse him of them. You see, I talk all the time about putting your trust in the Lord and what he can do, not in yourself. Cleanse thou me from secret faults, Lord. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins are the sins of assumption and all the things where we think, well, this is probably what the Lord would have me do. I think, you know, all these great ideas we have for what we think God should do and the like, and we're wrong. Why? Because we don't know his ways and we go out in presumption. So that's easy to do, folks. That's not hard at all. That's as easy as breathing for any person on this earth. So what does David pray? Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. He has no trust in his ability to keep himself from such things. He's saying, keep thy servant from these things. Why? Because he knows given half a chance, he's going to walk in them. When you recognize these things about yourself and you have no confidence in yourself, now you can stand in that place where all of your confidence is in him and you can trust him to accomplish these things. Let these presumptuous sins not have dominion over me. Well, amen, Lord. I don't want those things to have dominion over me. If I could see them, if I could see my presumptuous sins, I obviously wouldn't walk in them. But the very notion of presumption means I don't see it. I have no idea that I'm doing it. And so he's saying, let them not have dominion over me. Then, and only then, shall I be upright. Why? Because of me? Because of Christ. Because of Christ and what he can do. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, I wanted to go into John 5. Let me maybe share just a little bit and suggest you read John 5. Let's see something. I'm not going to go into John 5 tonight, but read it. It's too late to go into it tonight. I really wanted to go into it tonight, but those things that Robin hit on Psalm 19 were important. But as you read it, I want you to notice a couple of things. And one verse in particular I'll read to you, and I want you to think on this verse. This isn't actually the thing that initially led me to John 5, but I want you to read it. And he says, this is verse 44. He says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? It's amazing what you will see. And you look at it in the scripture and you look long and tall and you see everything here. The prophets, one of the amazing things about the prophets, they always seem to be standing alone. The thing you see with respect to Jesus, did his disciples get it and everything while he was on this earth? No, he was always standing alone. When you look at the apostles, did the people get it? All too often, no, they were standing alone. When you look through and you see Moses and the like, did the people get it? No, they were often all too standing alone. But what were they standing in? Were they standing in the honor of man? Was everybody else speaking well of them? Is that what they coveted? Is that what they walked in? No. Others had that. but they had the honor that cometh from God only. Which do you want? To come to get the honor that cometh from God only is a fight. It is the fight of your life. To get honor from men, that's nothing. You don't even have to do anything. But you know how you can tell which way you get it, and it said they receive it. See, what happens is as you stand in unbelief and as you stand in wrong judgment of others and you don't do it and you do these different things and other people then come and tell you that they give you excuse and they tell you you're all right and they tell you you're doing fine and they tell you you're great and they tell you you're nice and they tell you you're, you know, a believer, mighty believer to them and all these other things they tell you, you receive that and covet it and come to increasingly covet it. Why? Because you don't have the honor that cometh from God only. I want you to know, if you're going to take your place in the body of Christ that is called the Church of Philadelphia, not by man. It's not called the Church of Philadelphia by man. We may use those words, but no man has the power to make anyone a member of that church. It's the Lord himself who makes that decision. It's the Lord himself that lets you be a partaker of that anointing. It's the Lord himself that does these things. All good things come down from the Father of lights. He may use a man to deliver it unto you, but it came from him, not the man. And when you can come to that place where what you want is that honor that cometh from God only, even if nobody else honors you in this life, even if nobody else honors you in this life, now you can come to that place where you can walk in that body of Christ called the Church of Philadelphia that keeps his word, has little strength, but walks in the power of God. That's what I want for each and every one of you listening out there. That's what I want for myself. May we go forward and get it in the name of Jesus. Love you guys. Miss you. Look forward to seeing you. Keep me in prayer. May the Lord bless you. And I'll turn it back over to Charlie and the folks there. May they take us home with some good music. Praise the Lord.
Bye. Your grace we come. Now by your grace.
Well, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for thy word today. And Lord, may we receive that word and that we may digest it. And may we be strengthened by it and know that it is your work in us that brings us to that point that we may serve you fully and have that right heart. And Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And we look forward to seeing everyone on Sunday. We have the South Carolina service at 10 o'clock Eastern, followed by the Arizona service at 11 o'clock Eastern, followed by the Texas service at 1 o'clock Eastern.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.